worship you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. Father, this is, we consider this Father's Day. And so we want to take time not only to thank our natural fathers, but to thank you. Heavenly Father, you are much better than any earthly father could ever be. And you have done more for us than our earthly fathers have. We do acknowledge and honor our earthly fathers, but Father, we take time now to honor you, to praise you, to thank you that you are doing a great work in us, that you are helping your children, that you are faithful, you're always there. And Father, we thank you for this time, this moment, that we can worship you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't you appreciate your Heavenly Father? Hadn't He been good to you? Hallelujah. Maybe you didn't know your earthly father, or maybe your earthly father is not somebody that you look fondly toward because of things that have happened. But I want to tell you something. Whatever hadn't happened with your earthly father, your heavenly father more than makes up for it. And you need to just latch hold of that. You just need to latch hold of that. Sometimes these days like this are kind of hard for some people. Maybe your earthly father's passed on to heaven and you're missing him today. Just latch on to your heavenly father. He's still here. Glory to God. He's still here. He's still here. Isn't that right? So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What our earthly fathers couldn't do, you're well able to do and are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Praise God. It's good to see everyone in the house tonight. It is wonderful to be here with you. And Father's Day, I'm not going to preach a traditional Father's Day message to you. If you want that, then I would highly recommend that you get Pastor's message this morning on Godly Fathers Are Heroes. And I thought that Pastor shared his heart. You could see his father's heart this morning. And highly recommend that you get that. But I want to talk to you about something that's close to the Father's, our Heavenly Father's heart, and that is this. Several weeks ago, I was dealing with some things, and just this thought came to me as I was thinking about growing. And there are some things that never happen in our lives unless we grow. And so the question came, who will you be when you grow up? How many of you have ever looked at somebody and said, now when I grow up, I want to be like them? How many of you have ever done that? And so maybe you've asked your children, or maybe as a kid growing up, somebody asked you, what do you plan to be when you grow up? And then, sometimes we look at somebody that by all appearances is an adult, and then they act a certain way, and then we wonder, when are you going to grow up? How many of you have ever seen a few people like that? Well, the truth of the matter is, in the natural, we need to grow up, but spiritually speaking, we need to grow up as well. And I'm not talking about just you. I'm saying we tonight. I put myself in the same category. We can always continue to grow, no matter how far we have come. One man said to his boy, he said, stay a child as long as you can, because if you ever grow up to be a man, you can't go back. However, we all know that even after a man has grown up, he could go back and act like a child. And so we don't want to do that. We want to grow up and act grown up. And the truth of it is, Paul said this. He said he grew up and put away childish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. I'm reading this out of the New King James Version. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child. And said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And so there's a time to enjoy being a child. How many of you got some fond memories of your childhood? You know, how many of you found out you couldn't stay there, though? And much as you'd like to go back, even if you went back, it'd still be different, wouldn't it? And so we have wonderful memories as children, but there is a time to grow up. There's a time to move into the things that a man or a woman would do. And so really, Paul's talking here about growing up spiritually. He's not just talking about being natural. He didn't say, "I grew up and finally became a man and started taking on some responsibilities." No, what he's really saying here is that he's talking about growing up spiritually. And that is so necessary in the body of Christ, that we would grow up spiritually and become the people that God wants us to be. And actually, the context of this verse is about walking in the love of God. And so I find that it takes a grown up person spiritually to consistently walk in love. Now, how many of you have ever decided, "I'm going to walk in love"? How many of you have ever, "I'm going to walk in love"? You just decided, "I'm going to do it." And how many of you fell flat on your face about, you don't have to vote, you don't have to hold your hand up. We've all done it. About six steps down the road, you know, we fell flat on our face because the enemy sent somebody around to test us to see how good we were going to walk in love. And so the truth is, that we need to plan on growing up. Plan to grow up. How many of you planned to grow up when you were a kid? You were thinking about what you wanted to be when you were growing up. And some of you made plans according to those, to the ideas that you had and everything. And I remember I wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. And really really focused on that. What I didn't understand as a child is how much work it takes to develop and to become a cowboy. And I found out that as a child, we don't often understand everything that it takes to attain the dreams and the ideals that we have as a child. But if we grow, we're going to have to learn how to do some things. We're going to have to develop some skills. We're going to have to walk in some things in order to become accomplished in that field once we're grown up. It's the same way spiritually. You know, you can say as a young Christian, you could say, "I'm going to walk in love. Glory to God. No matter what anybody does, I'm going to walk in love." Or some people say it this way: "You can't offend me." You know, and I'm thinking, I'm probably not going to try, but I know this much, that the enemy will come along. How many of you found this out? The enemy will come along and test you in some of these areas. And we find out whether we're grown up enough to handle it or not. Don't get quiet on me right now. You know, and so the truth of the matter is, we need to plan on growing up spiritually like we plan to grow up naturally. And it takes some time. I'll tell you the truth about it. There are no instant telephone booth transformations in the kingdom of God that would make you a super saint overnight or in an instant. There are no Jack and the Beanstalk overnight growth experiences that make us spiritually grown up. There's no switch we can throw that will take you from child to man. There are no transformers in the sense of that we have the little figures that we have, you know, that kids play with. But those are ideas that the world has. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get some ideas from the world we try to bring into our Christianity.
And so we need to be careful that we get our ideas out of the Word of God. Because you see, God plans for us to grow up spiritually so He can show us what He has for us. It's absolutely true. Many people don't realize that they need to grow up spiritually to walk in some of the things that God has for them. How many of you have as a young Christian, didn't know what you were going to be doing like what you're doing now, but you're thankful you didn't, because it might have scared you a little bit. And so we need to recognize that God has to wants to get us ready. He wants some things He wants to show us, some things He wants to us to walk in. How many of you as a kid wanted to drive a car? But strangely enough, your parents wouldn't let you. I mean, isn't that strange? You know what I'm saying? And so, after you grew up to a certain extent, they let you try to drive the car. They explained it. They gave you instructions. So now, okay, you can drive the car. I remember my dad had a rifle hanging up high where the people, the kids couldn't get to it and everything. And we looked at that. And one day I remember I grew enough that he took that rifle down and he said, "Let me show you how to fire that gun." But he didn't give it to me. He didn't allow me to do that when I was just a little kid. I had to grow up. I had to develop some things within me in order to have those privileges. And so we need to grow up. We need to recognize there's great value in growing. Sometimes growing is not easy. Sometimes growing is actually painful, because there's some things you got to let go of, and some things that you really like, you got to let go of. How many of you found that out? And then there's some things that you got to take hold of, and it seems like you got to hang on to it with all you got in order to until you learn how to work in that. And it seems like it's hard work sometimes, but the change that is necessary, that is needed in your life, is absolutely worth it. Because on the other side of that, God wants to show you some things. C.S. Lewis, in his book, In the Wardrobe, said this. He said, "It may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It would be a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly while remaining an egg. We are like eggs at present, and you cannot go on indefinitely just being an ordinary, decent egg." He said, "We must be hatched or go bad." Isn't that interesting? And so it was very clear by that we need to grow. There's some things, you know, some things that need to happen in our lives. Sometimes we've got to stretch some growth muscles. How many of you ever gone to the gym and said, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to go work out." And about after the first day, you know, you next morning you got up, you couldn't hardly move and everything. So I think I got something wrong. I don't think that's good for me. Well, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about growing sometimes, and developing is sometimes a little bit painful. But you got to learn to look past that. One of the things I found out about children of God, people who are not spiritual adults, is that they tend to live for the immediate and don't necessarily make decisions for later on. In other words, they don't recognize that the decision they make today affects their tomorrow. And so we need to learn that the decisions we make, the actions we take today, do make a difference. And I believe this firmly with all my heart, that God is getting us ready for things in our future. And if we don't get ready for it, that opportunity will come and go. And God will hand whatever assignments He has to people who are ready. Every child of God, I will say this, every child of God is eligible, no matter whether they're a young Christian, a child of God, spiritual adult, or any stage of growth, is eligible to receive the benefits of redemption. We're not really talking about that. We're not talking about receiving salvation, healing, or or protection or provision or something like that. Those are promised in the Word of God to every child of God. And you are as much entitled to that, no matter what your spiritual growth level is, as anybody else. But I will say this, there are some things that God wants us to walk in that it takes some spiritual growth to take care of it, to make it where we're able to do that. If we do not grow spiritually, we will not walk in the fullness of God's plan for our lives. I know somebody says, well, you're getting negative on me. Let me just give you this too. We will not be developed enough to have successfully handle the crisis of life. One of the things that I'll never forget is when I was a chaplain at a hospital is that we had a prominent businessman in the city had passed away, and just suddenly, you know. And so I was there comforting the family and everything, and all there in the emergency room just off there, and then all of a sudden the door flies open and their pastor comes in. And he throws himself over on the gentleman's body that had, he had passed away, and the body's still there. And so he goes over there and throws himself on the body and says, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, what are we going to do now? Oh, no. And I thought to myself, there's a person who is not a spiritual adult, because he went all to pieces in the crisis of life. And evidently that found out later that gentleman, that businessman, had been on the church board and prominent in the church as well, you know, and everything. And so, but you know, listen to me. If we don't grow spiritually, we're not going to learn how to successfully handle the crisis of life. We'll not be strong enough to handle the pressures of temptations and trials. We'll be susceptible. Now listen to this. We will be susceptible to every wind of doctrine or every little fad of teaching that comes along. And how many of you know there's lots of winds blowing these days? And so there's some people that teach, they don't even attempt to hide their error anymore. They don't even attempt to hide it much with, you know, they're just teaching it, and anybody that wants to bite on that, they just blatantly insist that their way is right, whether the scripture says it or not. And so, we need to be sharp people. Could I get an amen? Amen. We need to be spiritually sharp, spiritually grown up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, in the New Living Translation says this. He said, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. See, right there, he equates children as the people that are tossed around, blown about by these different teachings that go on. In other words, they don't know what to believe. In other words, they believe this for a little while, then they believe this for a little while, and then they go over here for a little bit, and then, do you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? And so he equates that with being a child. And he says this, he said, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. There are some things, there are some teachers and some people that pose themselves as people of God, men of God, denominations that say that they have the truth and nobody else does. Don't look at me like that. That make it sound as if what they're saying is right. But let me submit to you that if you don't know the Word of God, you won't realize that they've twisted the Scriptures to suit their purposes, and so they're taking advantage of you. In verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Now listen to this. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy. Now listen to this. Say it with me. Healthy, growing, and full of love. Let's say that again. Healthy, growing, and full of love. One more time. Healthy, growing, and full of love. I see that our goal by these verses is this, that we should grow so that we are healthy, that we are growing, and so that we are full of love. And that is a challenge sometimes. So we must determine to see, to be who God wants us to be when we grow up. If we fail to grow up according to the Word of God and listening to the Word of God, we'll end up being something we were never created to be. A man working for a company asked his boss home, said, "My wife's got dinner prepared tonight, and she asked if you could come." And so he agreed to come, and so he was in the living room while the husband and wife were in the kitchen putting the meal together and putting it on the table. And the little six-year-old boy was standing there looking at the boss, at his dad's boss, and he looked at him, and after a while, he said to the boss, he said, "My dad said that you're a self-made man. Is that true?" And the boss drew himself up proudly, and he said, "My boy, that is absolutely true. Nobody helped me grow up." And the little boy looked at him with a serious look on his face, and he said this, "But why did you make yourself like that?" See, we don't want God to look at us and say, "Now why did you make yourself like that? I had good plans for you." Isn't that true? How many of you believe God's got good plans for you? How many of you believe that God's plans for your life are the best plans that could ever be drawn up for your life? And if you're not convinced of that, you need to get to the place where you are. And so we need to take time to find out who God wants us to become. Do you have dreams, aspirations, of things that you feel that you want to be or do or accomplish? Do you have goals that you've set and you're endeavoring to get to the place where those goals are fulfilled? Well, let me just say it this way. Just as a person, when they go to college, they choose the major that they study on. Isn't that right? And so in the same way, you and I need to be studying with God's purpose in mind. We need to be looking into the Word of God. We need to be allowing God to work on our lives. We need to be making decisions in light of what God wants us to be. We need to take actions according to that which is coming, which God wants us to become. Amen? Doing those kind of things allows us to grow and to be the right people that God can use. And so the question is, what do you want to be when you grow up spiritually? Do you want to be a servant or a worker for God? Do you want to be a good witness for Christ? Do you want to be a Christian voice in the community or a good business person? Do you want to be a Christian parent raising Christian children successfully that will follow the Lord? Do you want to be a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary? Do you want to be somebody that is a giver? I submit this to you. No matter what you want to be, what God tells you to be, you cannot be the best at it unless you've grown up spiritually or have become a spiritual adult. And so here's the thing. Renewing your mind is necessary for spiritual growth. Renewing your mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like to add the word daily in there. I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but that is almost implied right there. How many of you can see that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. And so we need to realize that growing in knowledge to change our thinking is needful, and it will help lead us to a higher level of believing, speaking, actions, decisions, and conditions in life. If we don't submit to that process right there, it hinders us in being able to walk in what God wants us to do. It actually hinders our willingness to obey God when the time comes. And so we need to recognize that. 3 John, and it only has one chapter, but 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says this, "Beloved..." And we know this is talking to us because that's God's name for us. Isn't that right? He calls us beloved. And he says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So one day I was reading that verse and I asked the Lord, I said, "So what do I have to do in order to have a prosperous soul?" And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "The answer's in the next verse." I said, "Okay, so let's look at it." And he said here, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you." And so I would like to submit to you that a prosperous soul is one that has the truth in it, the truth of God's word in it. A mind that is renewed. And he goes on and say, just as you walk in the truth. And you say, I know people that say, "Well, I'd like to think that I'm walking according to the word, that I got the truth in me. I've been working on it. I just hope I got the word in me like I need to." Well, it's really not a mystery. Because you see, at the end of that last verse 3, it says, "Just as you walk in the truth." Just as you walk in the truth. In other words, if it's in you, it's going to show up in your walk. How many of you can see that? If I'm having problems with my walk, then that tells me that I don't have the truth in me like I need it. I need to go back and renew my mind some more and submit my soul to the Word of God. I need to submit my thinking to the Word of God. And if my thinking's wrong, if my preferences are wrong, what I like is different than what the Word says, then guess which one needs to change? It needs to be us. It needs to be our thinking. It needs to be us who changes and submit to the Word of God. It is when we submit our mind, our will, and our emotions to the Word of God that we begin to be able to step into the best things that God has for us. Because you see, everything's lined up. Our thinking's lined up. Our believing will line up. Our speaking will line up. Our actions will line up. Our receiving is all lined up. Amen. It's all lined up right there. But it all starts with renewing your mind. Can you see that? And it goes on and says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, because you see, growing in the Word of God will lead you into maturity and walking in love. That's one of the things that is a sign of spiritual maturity, is that you walk in love. One person said to another person, "You shouldn't have done that. That wasn't walking in love." And the other person said, "Oh yeah, that was. It was walking in love." He said, "I loved doing it." But that might not be what we're talking about tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. "Love endures long and is patient and kind." Usually that one gets me right there. I usually don't have to read much further. I've already repented. "Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful nor vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly." Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. But I want to tell you something. If you don't think you need to grow, just read that a little bit right there, and it'll let you know right there, we got some growing to do, don't we? Because how many of you still notice, well, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you know, it's pretty easy to notice when somebody doesn't drive right in front of you, or somebody grabs something that you're wanting, or said something that's not so complimentary, or whatever it might be. So we got some growing to do to get to the place where we don't even notice it. Glory to God. Just give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't, you know, if I was in their shoes, I might act that way too. Maybe if something's happening, you know what I'm saying? I remind myself constantly when I see people doing things like, and I think, now that's rude. And then, no, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what news they just got. You don't know what their body condition is. You know, pain makes some people do some things. And so you got to learn to walk above the thoughts that come flying through your head and just keep on walking in love. Amen. And it says this, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when truth and right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. I like this last part in verse 8. It says this, love never fails, never fades away, fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. I like to say it this way. I like to think of it this way. Love, walking in love, is a sure way to victory. It's a sure way to win. It's a sure way to come out on top. Because as long as you're walking in love, God is free to help and to work mightily in your life to bring you through. The moment we step outside of love, then it restricts God and what he can do in our lives. And so I just want to encourage you, there's some growing to do. Isn't that right? How many of you know that? I got some growing to do. How about you? How many of you admit that tonight? I got growing to do. I know I got growing to do. And so I hope we can see that it doesn't pay, or it would be better if we don't remain spiritual children, but that we would grow up. I heard the story of a wealthy couple who had a very nice mansion of a home and a lot of nice things, and they found out that they couldn't have children, and they endeavored over a number of years to look into different things and didn't have any children. And finally, lo and behold, they kept believing God's word, and finally after several years they found out that they were able to have a child, and so a little girl. And so one day somebody overheard that father lift the little child, the little girl up, and he said to the little child, the little girl, he said, I can't wait for you to grow up so I can show you my world. Isn't that a good statement? I'll tell you, I could just hear my Heavenly Father say, I can't wait for you to grow up because I got some things I want to show you. I got some things I want to give you. I'm going to put you in charge of some things. I'm going to let you handle some things. I got some assignments for you. I got some things for you to do. I can't wait for you to grow up because I got some things to show you. God wants his children to grow up to become the people that he had intended for them to be. He desires to give what he has to his children. He wants his children to be blessed. He wants his children to walk in his plans. And so I just encourage everybody to dedicate ourselves to growing up spiritually so that we can experience everything that God has. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God is such a good God? He is a heavenly Father that is so tremendous in our lives. Let's lift our hands up and let's just dedicate our lives. Dedicate our lives to the Lord. Let's just dedicate ourselves to grow. Some things won't come instantly. But let's just dedicate ourselves to stay in the process until it comes. We're not talking about healing. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about, you know, protection or the redemptive, any of the redemptive promises of God. What we are talking about is the plan of God for our lives, the assignments that God would like for us to do, and the kind of people that God wants us to become so that we can handle the things of life better. And so we dedicate ourselves to you. Father, we do thank you for every person with uplifted hand right now. We thank you that they're dedicating themselves to grow spiritually, to stay in the Word, to renew their mind, and to walk in the light of what they read in the Word of God, to let the Word of God have effect upon their mind, their will, and their emotions, to have an effect upon what they believe, to have an effect upon what they say, to have an effect upon their decisions, to have an effect upon their actions and their conduct, and thereby walking in the things that you have for them, the assignments, the will of God, the plans that you have for them. So, Father, we thank you for it. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Just a moment. Just be quiet right now. I'm going to check on something here just a moment. Hallelujah. Just pray. Just pray right now. Just pray. Pray in the Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. I just keep getting this. I got this afternoon. I just wanted to make one last for a moment just to be sure. There are people here with leg problems. I'm not talking about your ankle. I'm not talking about your foot. I'm not talking about your hip. I'm talking about your leg. You got leg problems. If you got leg problems, the Lord spoke to me to pray for you. So you come. If you got leg problems, you got a leg problem. I'm not talking about a hip, not talking about a foot, not talking about your ankle. I'm talking about your leg. Then you come. If you got a hip problem, then we'll have prayer people that'll pray with you for that. But if you got a leg problem, that's specifically what the Lord told me. A leg problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is a good God, isn't he? So we're going to pray for these people. Hallelujah. Leave me enough room right there. Yep, there you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to receive from God tonight? Those of you, I'm talking to you that are up here. You're ready to receive from God. How many of you believe that when hands are laid upon you, that something's going to happen to your legs? How many of you believe that the power of God will come upon you and it'll come into your legs and healing will flow into your legs? How many of you believe that right now? In the name of Jesus. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to not pray. I don't want you to pray. I'm praying. Okay, I want you to receive. I want you to make up your mind. I'm going to get what God has for me. I just want you to take it. Just want you to take it. I just want you to stand there and receive it. Take it. I don't want you to do anything else. Don't pray in the Spirit. Just close your eyes now, those of you that are up here, and just want you to get your mind on the Lord and what he has for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray for you right now. Healing power flowing into your legs right now. In the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. There's a healing power flowing. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Right there. Watch this. In the name of Jesus. See, there's flowing. Right there. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. In your leg. Move your legs around. Start moving your legs and start seeing what the Lord has done. In the name of Jesus. Ready? Here we go. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. Hallelujah. Just relax. Let the Lord knows what he's doing. Healing power. See, there's flowing now. It's flowing into your body right now. Healing power in the legs in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just start checking that out. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. Healing power. Healing power. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Are you ready? in the name of Jesus. All right, in the name of Jesus, healing power. There it flows. Just take it, receive it, say it's mine. In the name of Jesus. Now begin to move your legs and see what the Lord has done. Name of Jesus. Healing power flowing in your legs in the name of Jesus. Healing power in the legs in Jesus' name. Legs be healed now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name. In the name. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. All right, there it is. Healing power flowing. Flowing. It's all the way down. All the way down through your legs right now, Brian. Just go ahead and start moving your legs and see what the Lord is doing in your life right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. There it is. Flowing. Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. Start moving your legs. Start moving your legs. Thank you, Lord. See it? How you like that? In the name of Jesus. Healing power. Healing power flowing in your legs right now. In the name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now move those legs and see what the Lord is doing. In the name. Oh, there's a healing power. Healing power. Now let it flow in your legs in the name of Jesus. Healing power. There it goes. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke that pain in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. In the name of Jesus. No more. No more. No more. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing power. In the name of Jesus. In the just take it all. In the name of Jesus. In the name, there it is. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. And healing power flow in your legs in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now let's worship the Lord. Let's lift our hands up and thank Him. Healing power. Healing power flowing in the legs in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do praise you. Father, we do praise you and thank you for healing power.
To the head.
Yes, we do. We worship you.
I lift my eyes.
Hallelujah.
To where my help comes from.
Praise you, Father.
Thank you, Father. I lift to you, my rock, my healer.
Hallelujah.
I trust in you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you can sense the healing power in this room? It is in this room. I didn't call it out, but you know, you can tap into that. You can just get it by faith, just right where you're at, whatever you need. In the name of Jesus, thank you for healing power flowing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Prayer team is coming. And they're going to pray for anybody else that has any other needs. Men will be on this side, ladies on this side. So there'll be ladies who go over to the ladies and the men to the men. And so we encourage you to come to God with everything that you, receive what you need. Glory to God. We know this Wednesday night, Pastor Hagin, I believe Pastor Hagin's going to be here. And going to have a good message. I'm sure he will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything. Do we have any first-time guests, Brother Ted? Didn't have any. All right. Well, let's just lift our hands and thank God one more time. First of all, we thank God we're growing spiritually. How many of you, let's just declare that. We are growing spiritually in Jesus' name. We thank God we're growing spiritually in Jesus' name. And that's also while we're hands up, we just thank God that healing power is flowing in our bodies. Healing power. And legs are healed in Jesus' name. And whatever you need, we thank you, Father. Healing power is working mightily in your body in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for coming. Greet some more people around you. Let them know you appreciate them being here tonight. And we thank God for every one of you and look forward to seeing you Wednesday night.